You can turn the book of Philippians with me. We're back in Philippians 1 today. And technically, we're supposed to be just looking at a few verses, but we're gonna read that. But really, this is taken from the last half of this chapter this morning. And just the idea of seeing God in your trials. We talked about that last week, as you remember. Paul said it that way, that what has happened to me is sort of one of those profound understatements, amen, that what has happened to me, because we know, we have the book of Acts, and we go back and look and say, wow, that which has happened to him, it's all of that stuff, plus more that he testified of in the Corinthian books and other places as well. Difficulties. He was currently, as he wrote this book, in prison. His life in ministry was difficult. It just was. It was the calling that God had for them. And as pagan as our culture is now, and it is profoundly pagan, I think we have no idea how some of like during Paul's day. I mean, it's just completely no idea of Christianity, right? And Judaism even was such a small sect, and you know, just. It's very difficult, very difficult. But what did Paul do? I want you to know, brothers, these things, this that I am in prison, all the difficulty that I've had to face, what's happened to me is these difficulties have turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. What a mindset. What an amazing thing. And this is just the Apostle Paul. It's just an amazing faith-filled, godly mindset. Paul chose to see God in his difficulties. We're going to give you a lot of tips today, instruction on how to handle hardships, ways to think about life when it's difficult. I would be the first to confess, I don't always, certainly from the first reaction, I usually try to correct myself, but I don't always see God in my difficulties. I don't. Like I'm going to talk about today, a lot of times I just want it to be over or be fixed or whatever. Paul, though, he chose to see God. And this is, now, in our defense, this is Paul looking back, right? This has been hard. He's like, wow, I can see that this has turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. That's usually a little easier, looking back, seeing. And we all have those moments, don't we? Where we look back and we say, wow, I can't believe what God did in the middle of all that hard stuff. And Paul chose that. I think that's good on the front end. If we could grow in that, just seeing God in our difficulties, learning that, growing in that, saying glory be to God when things are bad, when they're good, praise God. When they're not going your way or bad, praise God. Because God's plan is better. The plan of God was for the gospel to be furthered, for the gospel to go out, for it to reach into places where Paul would not be able to reach into. The palace guard, right? Well, why would they even talk to him? Now they got to see him every day, right? You see just how good God's plan is? That the gospel would advance. How do you tend to see problems? That's where we ended. And that's where we're going to spend our time today. We're going to sort of unpack this idea of difficulties. That it's a reality, right? Isn't it? I mean, if you As human beings, we need to have a good theology of difficulties. You could call them trials, hard circumstances, hardships. You know, some people that I know, it seems like they live in a cycle of one hardship to the next. It's like you're waiting for the next shoe to fall. When's the next crazy thing going to happen to these people? Yet we have to learn to be able to deal with this. And what is God doing? How do we not just survive this life, amen? Feels like that sometimes to me. I don't know if it does to you. It feels like that to me sometimes. It's like, I'm just trying to survive here, right? Just get me through this thing. But not to just survive, but to thrive, to have the life that God has for us. I talked with someone this year whose life, I'm still meeting with him. His life is very difficult. And we were just reminded together that it's difficult because it's not heaven. It's probably in the notes. It's not heaven. So, of course, it's not easy. It's not heaven. But it's also not hell, right? It's not as bad as it could be. There are good things here. All suffering, as our dear friend Doc used to say, all suffering is for a time. It's all short. It's not forever. For the Christian, all suffering is not forever. How do you see problems? And we're going to dig into that idea today. I'm going to read this. You can follow along as I read. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it's become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord in my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in that I rejoice, and yes, I will rejoice. That is a hard attitude for me to stay in as well. Let's pray together. We'll unpack this passage a little more. We kind of did that last week. We're going to look at even more of the rest of this passage and then talk just about difficulties. Well, thank you once again, Lord, for your faithfulness in this world and your faithfulness in working us through hardship. I know we would hopefully confess together a lot of times life's about as difficult as we make it. We can be our own worst enemy, grumbling and looking at everything in the negative when it's really not that bad. Just pray you'd help us with it. Sometimes it is really hard. Sometimes it's just chaos. We have some of that going on in our family right now. Just everybody's sick. Some of our loved ones are dying. Employment stuff is crazy. Government stuff is confusing and crazy. And it's just sometimes hard. Help us as we live here to think right, to remember who you are, to remember what you're doing, to live by faith, and to amend not only our attitude but our behavior. And we know this is for our good, and this is a difficult thing for a lot of us. I just pray that you just encourage us and help us as we unpack this portion of Scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. Difficulties. Difficulties are normal. You need to hear that this morning. I think a fair amount of us, we probably agree, but I think a fair amount of us act or live like we're totally stunned when something goes sideways. Could anyone agree with me this morning? I just like, how in the world is this happening? Where did this come from? Like it's just completely out of our experience that something would be hard. I don't know where we get that from. Difficulties are normal. Life is full of problems. Life is full of hardship. This is not heaven. Now, part of that could be because we have faulty goal or expectation of life. A faulty goal or expectation of life. For many people, not saying necessarily you, I hope not. I think we all suffer with this affliction to some degree. But for many people, the goal, the number one goal of life is ease. Just make it comfortable. You know, you could even say, I have a biblical thought. I don't need to be too rich. I don't want to be too poor, right? And it's just get me through life, less problems. And you know, there's some fair teaching on that, right? You know, obey the government so that it's not, you know, don't make it hard on yourself, right? You know, do what's right, obey the law, you know, don't whine when you get a $300 speeding ticket, you did it, right? So there is a fair amount of that lends to that feeling, you know, but then we feel like because of that, if we live a certain way or do a certain thing, that it should go smoothly and be okay, and it's just not the case. Difficulty is normal. The world has fallen, it's broken, hard things happen. There's really three primary ways why your life is difficult. In particular, your life, why your life is difficult. And one is, as we've already said, it's because you do things that make yourself your own worst enemy. You sin, and sin has consequences. It has punishment attached to it. It has all those kind of things, but at least it has consequences. Sin has effects. And even for Christians that are forgiven, it'll be the effect of the sin. You do something, like I said, you speed, you get a $300 speeding ticket, that's your fault. The second one, because God gives us all choices to make, right? He hasn't made it so we have to keep his law. The second one is because you live in a world full of people who sin. You live in a world full of people who they don't do what they should do. They don't love you well. They don't consider you. They don't do what's right. They don't follow God's law. The hard truth is then that because you live with people who are sinners and they sin and they do terrible things, you live with them. Your life gets hard. We've all experienced it. You didn't do anything sinful or wrong in a circumstance, and yet you bore the hurt of it because someone else, you can think of someone that, you may, maybe a child who's abused by someone who's supposed to protect and love them. What did the child do? Nothing, but their life was incredibly difficult. Sometimes you sin, makes life difficult. Sometimes other people, God gives them choices. If you take those two together, the way that God would be able to make this world free from difficulty is to get rid of all the problems. You see? That would include all of us, right? The only way to have a sin-free world is to get rid of sinners. The third reason, though, that the world, that your life is difficult sometimes is because, frankly, because Adam sinned. But it's nobody's fault right now. We live in a broken world. In a broken world, things are broken, and it's hard. You know, people get sick and die. People get cancer. People suffer. Car accidents happen. Humanly speaking, random things happen. You know, it's inexplicable. It's a hard world to live in. It's nobody's fault. Nobody sinned in particular, right? Like, oh, that's what happened. It's just a broken world, and hardships happen. Difficulties are normal in this life. We want pain-free life, problem-free life. We act like it's completely outside of our understanding that something hard happened because it's a disruption to my life of ease. Listen to this. My plans have been stopped. My goals are blocked. Why can't life just work? And maybe we face life with a resolved sigh. Oh, another day. Right? And I've been through those seasons. It feels like that sometimes, right? Why can't life just work? We can see life as something to, or problems in life as something to try to get through. It's a time. Oh, I'm going to slug through this, and then it's going to, you know, I'll get through it, and then whatever, right? I would say this to us this morning. We said this last week, but everything that you currently know has come through some sort of difficulty, some form of difficulty. Hardship teaches us. It makes us learn. Problems make you use your brain. And, you know, as I've meditated on this week, some of the things that I like the best for entertainment are problems. It's like I like games, board games that have a math element to them. Right? You know, I got to figure this out. Okay, what's the math that's in this game, right? You know, what do you gain from this, and how does this work together, and what, you know, what's the big end of it? Why? Because it's interesting. It makes me use my brain. It makes me learn. It makes me think through things. Problems are the same way. It confronts you with your life of ease, and it makes you stop wasting your time and work on something and learn and grow as a result of it, and so that you don't repeat your mistakes and you can help other people. It's the same way. If everything in this life was easy and smooth, we would never grow, ever. We wouldn't have any need to, right? Think about it. You know, you go to a nice all-inclusive resort for the week, and maybe you have to go by yourself because you're kind of prickly, but you go and everybody serves you all week, and it's nice, and the weather's perfect, and what stressed you? What caused you to grow? What caused you to think? We go there to relax and unwind, right? Everything we learn in life comes from some kind of difficulty. There would be no need to learn and no need to work if everything was easy. I talked about this last week. There was a job that said this at my first full-time job. If your job was easy, someone else would do it for less money. I have no, there's no end to the amount of people that I've heard, oh, my job is this, so this and that, and that's so hard, and all these things, you know. I was like, well, if your job was easy, some teenager would be doing it for, you could say minimum wage, but ain't nobody making minimum wage now, right, in Cedar Rapids, but for half the money or whatever. If your job was easy, see, you make the money you do because you know how to do hard things. Isn't that true? You know how to do things that other people don't know how to do. You have skills that you have learned that make you valuable as an employee. In this case, it was a repair business. People would call us because they didn't know how to fix their washer. It's kind of a scornful thing. You're just a worker, but hey, you ain't going to do your wash unless someone that knows how to do that does it. And so they would call us. We would go. We had the skills, and we could fix it easily and quickly. My grandfather, he was stubborn, and believe it or not, but he was a farmer, so he could fix anything the farmer way. They would watch my kids a lot because we were busy. And I said, Gramps, I'm over here 3 times a week. I'll fix anything you need. Just let me know. Spent a day and a half trying to fix a leaky faucet. A day and a half. The man had 36, you know, it wasn't the whole time, but all of his waking moments in a day and a half. And finally, he broke down in his pride and said, can you please fix my faucet? Took me 20 minutes. 20 minutes. Why? Was my grandfather a fool? No, he hadn't learned that skill, you see. And I had learned it from practice. Something that's hard for him was easy for me because of the way that my life had unfolded. It's the same way with every difficulty in life. They teach us things. And as we dig into this, I want you to keep that in your mind. Problems are normal. God is up to something. We learn well through these trials that God sometimes even brings into our life. Remember what Paul said. I want you to know, brothers, what is happening is turn to advance the gospel. God is doing something in the middle of these things. So, as you see there, I think you may have 8 or 9 points. It's not going to be 5 hours long, I hope. I promise. I'm not supposed to promise, but it's not going to be. We're going to go quickly. First of all, this is a good one to memorize. Trials are a redemptive opportunity. What does that mean? I would say the easy way to describe this mindset is this. That when life is difficult, when things are hard, we have a Creator who is both good, loving, and sovereign. He's good and loving and sovereign. And so you can trust him because of his character, and you can trust him because of his power. So he's up to something. What's he up to? Your redemption. He's up to your redemption every time. He's up to making you like Christ. He's up to saving you and making you like Christ. So trials are this opportunity in God's redemptive plan. God is doing something, and it's an opportunity for you. Often, trials are an opportunity for you to be a part of God's redemptive plan, for you to work and to help and to spread the gospel and to share it. That was Paul's point, wasn't it? This has turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Notice this. It has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. It was a redemptive opportunity. It was given to them to suffer for the sake of the gospel. So we could say, I would say, we could just say it plainly, but I'll say it this way. Trials are often a gift from God. I would just say they're a gift from God. God could withhold them. He can give them. Sometimes he just allows them. That's why I would be careful with language. But in this case, it was God's grace to them. It was granted to them for the sake of Christ that they should suffer. Now notice this, they're an opportunity to glorify God. Is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be ashamed, that with full courage now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. Christ would be honored. Whatever God was doing, his life was hard, Christ would be honored. If he lived, if he died, God would have the glory. Let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel. You see that? Let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel. It's an opportunity to honor God so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, not frightening anything by your opponents. It's a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation. It's a clear sign. God's glorified. Wow, look at how those people are living in light of all their problems. That's God. You see? God gets the glory. It's an opportunity to glorify God. You identify with Jesus and his sufferings. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though some strange thing were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. Think about that, what Peter's saying there. The people that suffered the most for Christ are going to be the ones with the most joy when he comes back. Isn't that true? When he comes back, they're going to have so much to rejoice in. When his glory is revealed, if you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, or an evildoer, as a meddler. You know, don't suffer for your own stupidity. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glory and glorify God in that name. God gets the glory. God gets the glory. You identify with Christ, you learn, and God is glorified. You suffer with him, right? You share in Christ's sufferings. God will use you, as we said, Apostle Paul, he was used in his suffering. Suffering is good for us because it helps us grow. We'll come back to a couple of these. It's good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. And the psalmist was saying, and we'll see another one later, he said, I didn't even learn until you afflicted me. Hebrews tells us to follow the example of Jesus in suffering, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, for who the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him, right? Looking to Jesus, consider him. Again, that idea of looking to Jesus. Consider, think about, peer at him. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself. Doesn't a fair amount of our suffering come from other people in the world? It does, right? People can be quite hostile. Can hurt. People have the most opportunity to cause the most pain to us sometimes too. Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted in your struggle against sin. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. I think the writer of Hebrews is trying to be funny there. Follow Jesus. Really, you've never been nailed to the cross, right? Follow Jesus. He suffered and he went all the way. You haven't had to yet. Consider him and see him in your suffering. It's a redemptive opportunity. How did God use Jesus' suffering to save all of mankind, right? It's a redemptive opportunity. Trials bring unity. Now, I should have a should in there probably. Trials bring unity. Trials are an opportunity for unity. They should. Because I would say it this way, hardships or trials will divide or bring you together. They will divide you or they will bring you together. And it depends on how you see them and your goals. Doesn't take much about unity to immediately your mind go to the last couple years in this country. It's just crazy. It's getting worse. I sometimes feel like we would just pull the Band-Aid off. Let's just get it done and let's just all split the country up and let's just go our separate ways. Because it is nuts. People have gotten so divided. But ultimately, for me, who cares? The problem is in the church. When people have valued their political agenda over Christianity and divided, that's a problem. People have divided their preferences and their ideas and their thoughts and divided or hated their brothers and sisters in Christ because of some of the junk that's going on in our culture. That's not good. Why? Problems. Problems will either divide you, well, I hate you, I don't want to have anything to do with you, or they'll drive you together. They'll bring you together. Look at some of the stories of people in persecuted countries and see what happens to them. Their divisions start to melt, Christians I'm talking about, their divisions start to melt away, right? Someone wants to kill you, okay? You huddle together, you wedge together, you overlook minor differences and things that are not eternal that are separating you and preferences and things, and you start to lean into each other because that's all you got. We have it too easy here in America. We have too much luxury here. Trials are meant to bring us together. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel. What's the manner of life that's worthy of the gospel? Whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I hear that you are standing firm in one spirit. Christians have so much in common. We have to be one. That you're standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. That's what a trial should do to us. It should just melt us together, leaning into each other because we desperately need each other. Christians should not strive against each other. Striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, not striving against each other. I hear this my whole life. I see this stuff. It drives me crazy. So many people want to fight and quip over little minor doctrinal differences and things in Christianity. And the first thing in my mind thinks is, if you're willing to fight over that, how much time do you have for gospel ministry? There's either one of two things. Either you're not doing gospel ministry, which I'm assuming is probably the case, or you've so well fulfilled the Great Commission that you've got all this extra time on your hands. Right? How do we have time for this? Striving against each other. Striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Where the gospel brings us together in the midst of our difficulties and it melts us together because we are all we have. God has made us one church together and we need each other. We should depend on each other. We work together. We have a common purpose, common goal, and the goal is the gospel. We should come together in love. Let your life be worthy of the manner of Christ, the gospel of Christ. Love, working towards glorifying God, working towards seeing people saved, lifting one another up, helping each other, serving each other. One of the biggest losses over the last decade in my life, and people blame it on the gen this and the gen that. I just throw that stuff in the garbage, all that babble. People are people, okay? One of the biggest losses that we have is being able to see one another and see each other as a person that we can help. Everybody sees each other adversarially now. It's just crazy. Like everybody has, that's not my opinion. Let's fight about it, right? Why? What in the world? To be able to see each other and to help each other. And certainly in the church we have to be able to. Lift one another up, help each other, and serve each other. How can I serve you? How can I live with someone that has a completely different opinion than me that I don't like? Love your enemies. Seems like someone told us that, right? Right, huh? Love your enemies. If your enemy's hungry, feed them. That's one God's been working on me with this year. Because that, to me, that's important. I'm like, I don't want to feed that person, right? I don't want to feed that person. I don't like them. Feed them. Whoa. It's personal then, right? Trials bring unity. I have a bunch of how we can help each other as Christian here. See that no one repays anyone for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Okay, that's a good word. But notice this. Therefore, what do you do in Christ? Lift up drooping hands. Strengthen your weak knees. These are talking about personal ministry to other people. Make straight the paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be put out of joint. Right? Help each other in the body. Lift each other up. Encourage each other. Have ministry in one another's life. The whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you're not consumed by one another. If you just keep biting and devouring each other, you're going to get consumed. Gospel ministry is not going to be furthered. Galatians is big on this one. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I was just talking about this verse with one of my friends that's a counseling pastor in Des Moines. And there's whole church understandings of life that say Sunday morning is when you get counseled. And so what happens is they see a lot of people, they're in the Des Moines area, so they see a lot of people from those churches because they need help, right? Bear one another's burdens. It couldn't be more clear, right? Help, get involved. See, unity drives us towards that. Difficulty drives us towards that unity where we're involved with each other. Life things that are less important that are less important, things are more important that are what God wants us to think are important. We help each other. We grow together. We work together. We bear each other's burdens, and it gets heavy. It gets heavy, but that's okay. Carry one another's burdens. It's what we're here for. Let us not grow weary of doing good. In due season we will reap if we don't give up. So then as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Do good. Come together in love. Work together. I admit to you, I get weary in doing good often. It's hard. It's heavy. But this isn't heaven. There's hard work for us to do, right? We're good Americans. We want the easy life and soft, and it's not what we're here for. And the crazy thing is, we are destined for the easy life, right? Your future is better than an all-inclusive vacation if you're in Christ. It's just not time for vacation yet, right? Trials bring unity. Now, I already lied. I already tell everybody every time, you're not supposed to lie in church. I said I'd go through these quick. I gotta go really quick through these last ones. I'm only on the second page. I apologize. This is gonna be kind of shotgunny. Trials work obedience. Trials can cause people to run from God or to turn to God. So trials can unify people and they can divide people. Trials can make people run to God or from God, and it's very black and white in my experience. There's really not much middle ground when life gets hard and the pressure's on. People either want everything to do with God or nothing to do with him. They get mad with him. It's really true. So the right response is just to learn from what's going on and to run to God, run to him. It's been granted to you to suffer. Let your life be worthy of the manner. Let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word, the psalmist said. See what happened to the psalmist? Got hard, he leaned into the Lord and learned and grew. And he had a rich relationship with the Lord that he wouldn't have had before his trial. It's good for me that I was afflicted that I might learn. It's good. I was glad. Thank you, Lord, for that hardship. That's a hard one to pray. I've prayed it a few times. Sometimes it'll stick in your throat. Thank you, God, for that. Thank you for that hardship. I needed that. I didn't want it. I still don't. But I needed it. Difficult times can point out areas that need to change. And it's easier to discern heart issues and think through responses and motives when it's hard. It presses you into that. There's no coasting, right, when it's hard. Because you're looking for answers and you're struggling through things and you're wrestling with things and you're thinking through, okay, what is God teaching me? What can I learn from this? And how can I grow? And you can learn the benefits of obeying God. It was good for me that I was afflicted so that I might learn your statutes. You learn the benefits of that. Sometimes it's really difficult because you are not obeying God's statutes, right? And it would be right then for God to not only let, but bring hardship into your life so that you would learn his statutes. Trials build faith. You have nowhere else to turn. When it gets hard and the chips are down, you know, you ever heard that one? You have. Well, I guess all we can do now is pray. Huh? You heard that one? Yeah. We've been there. That's a terrible mindset, by the way, right? But it's really what we feel. I have nowhere else to turn. And so you have to live by faith. Look at what Paul says. We don't want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. So they had hardship. We were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Do you have a sign in your kitchen that says, God will never give you more than you can handle? That one's a lie. We were burdened beyond our strength. God gave them more than they could handle. Right? We were burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. It's over, guys. Right? I hope your will is in good order. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but God who raises the dead. Wow. What happened? Built their faith. The Apostle Paul needed his faith to be built. That's convicting. That was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril. He will deliver us on whom we have set our hope, that he will deliver us again. Their faith was increased. That's what trials will do for you. Makes you got nowhere to turn. It makes you just lean into the Lord. God, I'm trusting you for this. I don't know what to do. Help me. Work me through it. Romans talks about that. God's redemptive plan in your life, his greater purpose, that you would trust him, that you would learn, that you would be conformed in the image of Christ. Trusting your faith, trusting that God is all wise, so he makes no mistakes. God, let these things into my life for a reason. My responsibility is to trust him and to believe. To live a life of faith means trusting God, and it's something you supremely have to do when it's difficult. It's easy to trust God when everything is easy, right? But it's difficult when it doesn't go your way. It's hard to trust. Where are you at, God, right? What are you doing here, God? Where are you at? Trials will deepen your relationship with God. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul's whole life was Christ. He was so longing to be with Christ that he was willing to die, or wanting to die, happy if he would be able to die there for the right reason, just because he wanted to be with Christ. But he was pulled between two realities, life and death. His problem was, how can he serve God the best in 24? To remain in the flesh is more necessary for your account. He knew that God was going to do what was best. He knew the Philippians needed him. Even though he would rather die so he could be with Jesus, he would rather serve God where he was needed. Trials give you a right perspective on life in God. So, first of all, think of this. Paul had such a deep relationship with the Lord that he was not only willing to die, but he was wanting his life to be over so that he could be with Christ, which he says, which is far better. Okay? Now, some of us were like, this life is hard, I'm just tired, get me out of here. That's not really what Paul is describing. What Paul is describing is, I love you so much, Jesus, I cannot wait to be with you. I am ready right now. That's a different attitude. And he says, far superior, that was his number one goal, to be with Christ. But what he was willing to do was set aside anything he wanted to do whatever God wanted. And God says, more needful for the Philippians for Paul to remain. And so, all right, that's what I'll do. I'm confident of that, whatever God wants me to do. That's a deep relationship with the Lord. Trials give you a deeper, richer relationship with the creator of the universe. Think about that. When trials lean you into the Lord, you're learning from his word, your faith is being increased, you're learning who he is, your relationship is deepening with him. Think about how sweet that is. Think about that. And I would say it this way. Think about if you had not had that difficulty, all of that you would have lost. It's not worth it. When life is hard, get your mindset on that. Okay, this is a chance for me to trust Christ. This is a chance for me to dig into his word. This is a chance for me to lean into him and deepen my relationship with him, to learn from him, to know the living God, to know the creator in a greater way. It's amazing if you think about it that way. It's very good, right? It was good for me when I was afflicted. See God. And that helps you see God in your relationships, in all of your circumstances. When it gets hard, that should be your go-to. All right, what is God doing here? How can I see God in this? A redemptive opportunity, as we already looked at, this is just in closing. The opportunity to glorify God, an opportunity to grow. They teach you about God and yourself. They draw you near to God and deepen your relationship. You learn from him. You grow to love and trust him. He's faithful. You know, I don't know how many times in my own life where God has showed up and delivered me for something I had no way of knowing. How am I ever going to get out of this? And then God showed up and did it. It's like, wow. And it just helps your faith. You're just like, man, yeah. Why wouldn't I trust this God? He just keeps on being faithful and showing up. It deepens your relationship with him. You grow. You learn to love and trust him more. Trials can deepen your relationship with others as well. When, you know, That's one of the reasons that I love the counseling ministry. There's several reasons. Just this month, I've been thinking, I wish that I had camera running in the office the whole time, all the time, just so that everyone could rejoice with me and just see what God does. It's just stunning. But part of it is because people need help, and shame on us for not giving them help. People need help. We got to get involved. Life is short. Get involved. And so I like that. But part of it is just faith building. You get to know people and you start to love them. The person that doesn't go to our church that's graduating this week, and it's a lady, and I said, she said she knew she was ready. It was awesome. We had a wonderful meeting. And she had this look on her face like, but I don't want to stop seeing you. You know, so I was like, oh, I know. So I said, you're dear to us now. You're under our wing. Lori was there with me. You can call anytime, right? You grow together in these difficulties. You bond together. And God, you share life together. It's just wonderful. And your own faith is increased as well because you see God show up and you see God work. It's awesome. In a real way, you share in Christ's ministry as well, part of a redemptive opportunity of it. When you suffer with him. It's been granted to you on behalf of Christ that you would suffer for his sake. So change how you view life. This life, and I'd rather black this one out most days for myself, quite honestly. This life is not supposed to be about your easy. Ouch. I need that plaque on my wall. That's why I'm not catching pompano right now, quite honestly. Running a taco stand in Pensacola. I wonder if they'll have taco stands in heaven. Maybe I could run a taco stand in the millennial kingdom. It's not about your easy. What has God called you to? I know people who've been called to a life of suffering. Their whole life is hard. I know those people. It's difficult. They suffer greatly. Some people, they live with pain every day, all the time. This life is not supposed to be about your easy. It's just not. We're not in heaven. You know, if this was heaven, then we wouldn't long for the real heaven. Difficulties are normal here. Change how you view life. Discipline yourself to see the problems differently. This is just a stunning verse. It's been granted to you for the sake of Christ that you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. That's just stunning. Difficulties are normal. Discipline yourself to think about some of these difficulties differently and respond in faith. You know, you look at life and it's full of difficulties. It's not every day. All suffering is for a season. Most of our life is, quite honestly, pretty darn easy. But when you get into those difficult times, when you get into those, respond in faith. Where else are you going to turn? Right? Where else are you going to turn? Do your responsibility. If there's something you need to do, do your responsibility. But always respond in faith. Trust the Lord. Turn to him. I find that you can make yourself completely miserable and make yourself completely crazy, or you can just rest in the Lord and let him work it out, right? Like I said, like I've told you about that guy, he told me, I worry all the time when it's working because none of the stuff I worry about ever happens. Right? You just make yourself crazy. And anxiety can make you physically ill. Trust in the Lord. Just let him work you through it. Learn. Have a learner's heart. Let God work. Respond in faith. God has a plan and he knows what he's doing. He's not off the throne. He never sleeps. Never. Never slumbers. He doesn't work 9 to 5, right? He's not even in time. He's outside of time. He knows the beginning from the end. He's got you. He'll take you through it. He'll get you through it. If you're in Christ, worst case scenario for you is you die and go to heaven. What's wrong with that, right? That's a worst case scenario, this, you know, for a living person. You die, you go to heaven. Oh, darn. Right? You know, you wake up in bliss and joy in the presence of your Creator. Wow. And all the opportunities that God has for us in bringing these difficulties. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, so much for this wonderful reminder from Paul of what life, his own struggles and his own personal experience and what life is about. It's about the furtherance of your glorious gospel, and that how we can be part of what you're doing and know you in a deeper way through all of it. It's just amazing. If it was confession time, I would confess my own weakness in this. And God, I know we all need to grow together in this. And life is legitimately hard for us. We're certainly not saying that. It is. It's hard sometimes. Sometimes it just feels crazy. It's chaotic. But it's not. Nothing is random. We know that. We know you are sovereign. We know you're working out your plan. We know you're good. And we know that you're doing wonderful things that we can't even see. And so we just pray, help us in our weakness, increase our faith, and use us in this world to glorify yourself. In Jesus' name, amen.